From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for joining with us for today's program. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from the Word of God brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week's message is called Christ, the Light of the World, using the Savior's own words from John chapter 8 and verse 12. We've already seen that by saying this, Christ was claiming to be God. Furthermore, as we'll learn today, in His flesh, the Lord Jesus is absolutely pure. First, for today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns addresses the lure of tradition.
40 years ago, the Vatican ran an all-out war of attrition against one of the Roman Catholic Church's top prelates, Archbishop Lefebvre. The reason? He rejected the decision of the Second Vatican Council to replace the Latin Mass with Mass in everyday language. During that war, the Pope excommunicated clerics and laity who would not give up their Latin Mass. Now, the present Pope has allowed the reinstatement of the Latin Rite, and people are flocking to this return to tradition. I think of an Irish Roman Catholic woman whose grasp of her own language was quite limited, and whose knowledge of biblical truth almost non-existent. She was very religious and believed a host of popish superstitions, and she was wedded to her Latin Mass. She didn't understand a word of it, but she was moved by the mystery of it all and carried away with the beauty of the liturgy. It seems that there are many like her, people who know nothing about the actual truth or otherwise of what's being said, for they don't understand a word of it, but who believe that Christian worship consists in some strange feeling of mystery or aesthetic beauty. Of course, it's all utter nonsense. The Roman Mass is a blasphemy against Christ and His once-for-all sacrifice for sin, and that is so whether it's celebrated in English or in Latin. It's an insult to Christ to term the Mass a sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead. Christ left His church the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of His sacrificial death on the cross, not as a sacrifice in which He is offered as a victim, which is what Rome teaches, to put away our sins. Now, it doesn't matter how you express Rome's teaching, or in what language you state it, it's a blasphemy. The traditional Latin Mass is as abominable as any other Mass, and to be lured into its blasphemy by a love of tradition is an egregious error. According to U.S. News and World Report, many Protestant churches are succumbing to the lure of tradition. Some of the evidence the magazine cites is suspect, for example, the practice of a weekly communion service or the reciting of the Apostles' Creed is supposed to be an indication of a return to ancient church tradition. Hardly. I suppose there's no greater Protestant in the world than Ian Paisley, and I know for a fact that he has held a weekly communion service throughout his long ministry. Similarly, Protestant churches ever since the Reformation have recited the Apostles' Creed. However, there are other signs that are disturbing. A move to dead liturgy, a dependence on the church fathers, who for the most part are hopelessly inept exegetes of Scripture. For many, the lure of mystery and beauty are leading them into practices that are subtly changing their beliefs. This is dangerous. It is the result of a growing ignorance of the true nature of Protestantism. Protestant worship follows the New Testament pattern. In the New Testament, Christian worship is severely simple. It is not aimed at stirring the carnal senses, but at stirring the soul to faith in Christ, as the pastoral epistles clearly witness. Hence, preaching is the central act of worship in Protestantism. The lure of tradition is the seduction of Satan to pull us away from the absolute authority and all-sufficiency of the written Word of God. Test tradition by Scripture. Never leave what the Bible says because of tradition, however ancient. Tradition without truth is vanity. Tradition without truth is apostasy. Truth can stand on Scripture without tradition. So don't take the devil's bait and swallow vain tradition. If it's not biblical, it's not of God. And that's a rule with no exception.
Please go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall there get sight of the gates of light. If the way of the cross I miss, the way of the cross means home. The way of the cross means home. It is sweet to know as I onward go.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. In addition, there will be reports on what the Lord is doing on two interesting mission fields, that of Liberia, as well as what he's doing in the land of Nepal. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
The first light in creation when God was disposing his works came from, quotes, his cloud. Now, can any Bible believer feel to remember the cloud? The very same cloud that followed Israel in the wilderness, through which God gave them light and guidance and grace. The same cloud of which Isaiah speaks in chapter 4, verse 5, that will yet spread its brightness across Mount Zion and from there across the world. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be for a defense. The light is the light of God's cloud, which is the representation of his essential and his eternal and his glorious deity. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world, he says, I am lighting the world. Not with the opinions of men, not with the best efforts or inventions of religious systems, but I am lighting the world with the light that arises from my own eternal, uncreated glory, which is now revealed to men for their salvation. I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is truly God, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all, as we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. And that's why the Lord Jesus testifies, as we read in verse 23 of John 8, I am from above. Now that claim is strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ's deliberate use of this I am statement. I am the light. Again, this is one of a unique series. Go through the Gospel of John. You'll find he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. It's a wonderful series of texts to study. The I Ams of Christ. Now, the force of those I Am statements was not lost on the Jews, and especially upon their leaders. We have read already here in John chapter 8 how the Lord Jesus says in verse 58, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before he was. You see, Abraham is a creature limited by time. You speak of him in the past, the present, and the future. He had a beginning. His life had an ending. Though now he is immortal because of the sovereign grace of God in his creation and then in his redemption. But before Abraham was, past tense, I am in the everlasting present. I am the eternal. And immediately that said something to Christ's hearers. Their mind went back, as ours should go, to the third chapter of Exodus in the 14th verse, where the Lord is appearing unto Moses and he says, My name is I am. I am. One of the most glorious revelations of the Lord in Scripture. The I am. The absolute. The independent of all outside of himself. The uncreated. The unchangeable. The perfect. And the eternal, who becomes in grace the God of covenant mercies to his people. I am. And here is the Lord Jesus saying, I am. I am God. And as God manifested in the flesh, I am the light of the world. Oh, that we would grasp this today. I think that this is a truth, and I really have already shot my time in dealing with it, because there's a lot more I'm supposed to deal with this morning. And I don't like those sarcastic smiles that I see here and there when I say that. But I think, you know, that this is one of those truths. I'm not saying it's the only truth. But it is one of those truths that gripped the hearts of our reforming forefathers, that set them on fire for God, that nerved their arm for the fight, that gave them backbones like brass, that made them unafraid of the opposition that afflicted them in life and the fires that hunted them to death. They knew Jesus Christ is God. We are not preaching some impotent little savior. It's not a Muhammad that we're presenting. It's not some man dressed up and glorified by myth and by legend. It is God who has come in the flesh. It is God whom we are serving. It is God whom we are preaching. We can preach him with confidence. We can go to the dungeons of the poor and the afflicted and the incarcerated. We can go to the people who are down and out, and then we can go to the people who think they have everything. People that Dr. Paisley always calls the up and outs.
but they're just as equally out. And we can tell them Jesus Christ is God. What a glorious truth. He says, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. Is sin powerful? Our Savior is God and He is more powerful. Is Satan powerful? Our Savior is God and He is more powerful. I am the light of the world. It's a statement that teaches He is God. It's a statement that teaches that in His flesh, He is absolutely pure. Oh, not only in His deity, but in His deity manifested in human flesh, He is absolutely pure. In other words, there are no dark corners of shame in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. See Him as He stoops over and He writes in the ground, in the dust of the temple area. See Him then as He lifts His face and He looks at those so-called holy people, those self-righteous people, those people with their phylacteries and with their Torahs and with all the scripture flowing out of their mouths, those people who knew all about sacrifice and saying prayers and all the religious ritual. See Him as He looks at them and says, let any one of you who is not guilty as this woman is guilty of adultery in the sight of God, let him hold up his head and then lift his hand and cast the stone, and every one of them had to slink away like an animal into the night. But then see Him, verse 46, when He looks them in the eye and He says, which of you convinceth me of sin? Not one. There were no dark corners of shame in the life of our blessed Savior. There's not one person here this morning, doesn't matter how young or old, how well saved or how spiritual, there's not one person here this morning, including the preacher, who could say there's not a dark corner in my heart. There's no shaded areas in my memory. There's nothing of which I'm ashamed. We all must hang our heads and say, I am a sinful man, O Lord. But our Savior is sinless, spotless, and pure, holy and harmless and undefiled. He penetrates the darkness, but He's never polluted by it. I am the light. And I don't want to get off on an adjacent thought here very far, but let me remind you of something that I pointed out last Sabbath evening. This was just as true of Christ on the cross when all the sins of all His people from all time were placed upon Him. When God made Him to be sin, it was a judicial act, a legal act. It was a forensic transaction. He made Him legally liable for our sins so that He paid the penalty for them. But He did not Himself become morally impure. I am the light of the world. When you think of this pure and holy Savior, who is the light of the world, bearing our sins, and follow Him to Calvary, I cannot adequately explain the paradox. Here is the light of the world, possessed of uncreated glory, And he's enveloped in great darkness. And he cries, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He's God. He's absolutely pure. And then there's a third idea that the text teaches, and that is that he is the absolute truth. I am the light.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.